Happy to have you aboard here for the Really Big Barbecue Show.
Boing. We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Hit me. Fine. How's it going?
You have a great show. I'm a big fan.
Boing.
So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead, and he's in the crackle.
Charbono. It's all about the Charbono, dude.
Succulent fish. What?
He ate 54 wieners.
Oh, listen, Libertius, shut your face.
I'm shaking like a dog shit peach seed.
We have top men working on it right now. Top men.
Hey, welcome to the second hour. It's the Barbecue Central Show, where we talk about all the most important things that are happening in the live fire barbecue and grilling world. The show originating from
Palm City, USA, Cleveland.
Still to come on the show this evening, Sam the Cooking Guy is coming in, and Jeremy Ellis, first-time guest, territory sales manager for McAuliffe Cigars. By the way, keep an eye out for this guy. Guy the Cooking Sam. When you see him in the chat, your mind is reading what? Sam the Cooking Guy. No, that's not who he is. That's Guy the Cooking Sam. Read carefully. Rule number two of the show, don't get hooked. I saw a number of you jumping in. Hey, Sam. Not Sam. Guy the Cooking Sam. Not Sam the Cooking Guy. We say good evening to those of you watching tonight through one of our video streaming platforms. You can go to facebook.com/BBQCentralShow. You can go to youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow, twitter.com/BBQCentralShow as well. There's a new YouTube poll question of the week, and we're asking everybody this. As an adult, have you been punched in the face? And be for real, 77% of you are saying no, you have not been punched in the face. Good. Good for you. Coming up on the best moments of the Barbecue Central Show in 10 minutes or less this coming Friday, episode 328, taking you back to April 22nd, 2008. And it appears that in some instances, I have had conversations with legends of the barbecue and grilling industry, and I don't recall them. For instance, many years ago, I had a conversation with a legendary barbecuer and a legendary competitive barbecuer to boot, and business guy and pit builder and all the same, John Willingham. In fact, I'm going to hazard a guess that most of you in the chat box right now don't know the name John Willingham. Some of you, of course, do. You're steeped in that tradition along with me, but probably many of you don't. Meanwhile, I had a private one-on-one phone call for somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 minutes with one John Willingham. The problem is I don't remember any of that, not even one second of it. So in keeping with that tradition or trend, this coming Friday, you will hear what was the first interview I ever did with legendary barbecue cook and businessman and rub maker Byron Chisholm of Bad Byron's Butt Rub. You might be asking yourself, how is that keeping with any trend? Easy. Because I thought the first time I had Byron on the show was last year when he did a great interview. But it wasn't last year. It was 2008. I was certainly sure that that was the first time he had done the show last year. But indeed, no, I was incorrect. In fact, he was on this show for the first time when the live show was only 2 months old. I didn't have him on, you know, back in the beginning podcast days or anything like that, but I did have him on in 2008, which is highly embarrassing. Like, how don't I remember having a conversation with Bad Byron or John Willingham? I remember the first time I had Stephen Reichlin on the show. I remember when I talked to Bill Cannon. I mean, I remember when I talked to Michael Medium Rare O'Donnell, for crying out loud. I don't remember John Willingham. John Willingham didn't even want to talk about the show, or he didn't want to talk about himself. I don't. Why am I even relating this to you? Because I don't remember it. This is John finding it in a show and called me. He's like, dude, tell me about this phone call with John Willingham. I'm like, huh? I never talked to him. Oh, yeah, you did. Anyway, you can subscribe to the show by visiting thebbqcentralshow.com/subscribe, where you can get not only replays of The Really Big Show, you can get the best moments of The Barbecue Central Show in 10 minutes or less. And if you want to hear a past guest or segment that has been lost in the archives, email John and let him know what you'd like to hear. John is J-O-N at thebbqcentralshow.com. I meant to get to this last week, but ran way over with Travis Brown that I mentioned. But I'm getting to it now because it's still as relevant a take as it was last week when I was going to run it out to you. And that is this: Traeger Grills collaborating with Louisville Slugger to create a new maple pellet. Now, my Michigan embedded correspondent on his own has continued to take Traeger to task personally on his Instagram account. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can find all of his reels over there. That's up to you to watch it. I'm neither encouraging it or discouraging it. I know we talked about it last week for a few moments. It was an assurity question. Sam the Cooking Guy took a shit all over me for being a Traeger hater, which is not fully the truth at all. But when you look into this particular collaboration, or whatever you want to call it, it is a little murky. You know, I reached out to a number of folks on this topic, and it remains unclear as to what exactly is happening. And this is what I mean. I've heard from very reliable sources, not bullshit, very reliable sources. The Traeger is buying the same billets or wood blanks that Louisville Slugger uses for their bats to make these pellets, and that they actually aren't buying scrap. However, in contradictory, there are video promos that Traeger was running a week and a half ago, and you had two guys from Louisville Slugger saying that 2/3 of the billet becomes waste as they make each bat. It becomes scrap. I have no idea what Louisville Slugger was doing with the scrap prior to the collaboration, but for the time being, it appears that they might be selling it, the scrap, to Traeger, and Traeger is making a Louisville Slugger branded maplewood pellet for you to buy. There's competing, there's a discrepancy in the information. I have somebody who was highly reliable telling me it's not scrap. They're buying the same blanks and then taking those blanks, grinding them, and doing the pellet process that way. But then you have video of two guys from Louisville Slugger saying, we're giving the scrap from the billets to Traeger, and they're making the pellets. In any event, it's coming in an 18-pound bag. And it's $28 retail cost, as I mentioned last week. For perspective, a 20-pound bag of traditional Traeger pellets is $20. So you're getting 2 pounds less in the bag, and you get the privilege of paying $8 more for said bag. Is this great marketing? Yes. Because people who are in the Traegerhood are in it. They will buy anything the Traeger makes. Blindly, they think it's the best thing ever. So for all the other companies out there complaining about lack of loyalty and their customer base, call Traeger up and get the freaking playbook, because they have done a masterful job at this part, without question. But squad, check me out. It's a maple wood pellet. Maple wood pellets are not novel to the industry. They have been around forever, and never once in the history of ever have they sold for a premium price compared to other flavors of wood pellets. If you go to Amazon.com right now and search maple wood pellet, you can quickly see that you can get a 40-pound bag from a leading manufacturer in the industry right now for less than $24. A 40-pound bag of cooking pellets, perfect mix, which has maple pellets in it, on Amazon.com right now, $32. Much cheaper and much more. By the way, There's no charity being benefited here in the Traeger Louisville Slugger collaboration. It's a marketing program that is giving you, the Traeger customer or non-Traeger customer for that matter, less product for more money. Be smarter than that, for crying out loud. Be financially judicious. Be a fiduciary of your own finance. That's what I was going to say last week, and now we are all much smarter together with all this information. It's competing. The information is competing with itself. Not only that, you're paying more for less. Do you call that a win-win? Sam the Cooking Guy, believe it or not, is in the green room and ready for a second week. Surprised he's not exiting stage left after that. Franklin Barbecue Pits is here. It is one of the premier offset pits available on the market today. It's made with mostly quarter-inch American-made steel. It can last over 100 years if it's cared for properly. A critical component to making great barbecue is professional-grade heat retention, and that's what you get when you buy a Franklin Barbecue Pit. You also get the things that Aaron Franklin holds most dear. You get chaotic airflow. You get to see all the welds. You get to see this thing patina in its own unique way. You get a unique badge number. These can be found at certified Franklin Barbecue Pit dealers across the country. If you don't have one near you, don't worry. You can go to the website, franklinbbqpits.com. You can order one right there, and it will ship right to the bottom of your driveway, crated. And then you can get it right to around where you want it, uncrate it, roll it over, and away you go. Now you can make great Texas-style brisket or Kansas City-style brisket. I don't even know if Carolina has a style brisket, but Cleveland cooks brisket. I cooked one over the weekend, as I told you. It can hold a ton of food. It is as easy to learn as any offset could possibly be. No dampers to worry about on the fire door. All those cutouts with the Franklin logo and those oblong cutouts, all there on purpose to draw the air into the fire. This isn't a push fire, it's a pull fire, if you know what I mean. Now, if you are a barbecue store or a seller of pits and you're looking to bring one in, you've picked the right time. Get ahead of the grilling season because we are on the heels of it right now. Go to franklinbbqpit.com and fill out a dealer form, have a conversation with Matt Gase, and then you can strike a deal. I say get four or five. Put one on the floor, have three or four in the back ready to go, and let the one on the floor sell itself. Everybody touch it, bang it around. I mean, this thing is indestructible. You'll thank me later. franklinbbqpits.com. That's franklinbbqpits.com. And we're back with Sam the Cooking Guy right after this. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Howard Stern, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and Greg Rampey. The Mountain Rushmore of talk show entertainment. Now, let's get back to the Barbecue Central Show.
Welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by Pit Barrel Cooker, the most unbelievable outdoor cooking device on the planet, available in three sizes, host of accessories. I love the Pit Barrel coffee mug. It's so cute. Doesn't matter if you're a beginner or a professional, it's a cooker you want to add to the arsenal. You go to pitbarrelcooker.com and order. Tell them I sent you. Might get a free gift. Who knows? In the second hour, 14 past, who do you find? A YouTube cooking personality, a cookbook author, TV show host, a Barbecue Central Show's guest Hall of Famer. It is our pal in the second week in a row, Sam the Cooking Guy. I can't believe that you are backing it up from a successful embedded correspondence segment last week. Here he is again. Once again, our pal, Sam the Cooking Guy. Sam, we have a YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody. So let me get your answer to this first. Wow, that's cool. As an adult.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I did not mean to make that shit happen. I just was.
So here's
I'm not
what we
do
know.
It now.
Here's what
I wanted to do was say, good, I'm looking forward to the
question. You can't hold up the peace sign because that makes balloons go up. You can't hold the thumbs up sign because that makes the thumbs up. That is some kind of computer
Does this do? Does that do anything?
Nope. But it's certainly giving off its own you-know-what.
Just checking.
YouTube poll question of the week, Sam. We're asking everybody, as an adult, have you ever been punched in the face for real? Yes or no?
Nope.
Currently, 73% of the YouTube voting public have also never been punched in the face for real. I am also in the 73%, but 27% of my audience has been punched in the face for real as an adult. I think that's shocking.
You know, about a year ago, I was standing in the park. We're about a half a block from a Balboa Park, huge park in San Diego. I had the two dogs. They were both on leashes in my right hand. And I had earbuds in, corded ones. And I was talking to Max. And a transient... I didn't recognize as a transient at first.
Is that a nice way of saying homeless?
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe homeless is better, or unhoused. I don't know.
Unhomed.
This guy had shit going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not really paying attention because I'm deep in conversation. And I don't notice him until he's about 10 feet away from me. And at the 9-foot mark, he picks up speed. Mm. He walks rapidly towards me. And as he gets within about 2 feet, he takes his right hand and he punches.
Takes a swing at you.
And a huge swing.
Wow.
And I blocked with my left hand. And I think he got pissed off that he didn't connect, and he turned around and he started to walk away. That would have been maybe the only time. And as he walked away, I did, you know, the stupid thing. I yelled a bunch of shit at him.
Yeah.
And he turned around to come back. But as I yelled and as he turned, two City of San Diego park guys were landscaping, 30 feet from me. And they heard this and they started to walk over. They were going to intervene and help. And now the guy saw, oh shit, now it's 3 against one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up. And he walked away. And
what a puss.
And they said, do you want to call the cops? I go, what's going to happen? The guy's going to be gone into the park by the time they get here.
Yeah.
I wasn't really, I wasn't hurt. He hit my arm. And so, but a little part of me feels like I'd be more of a man if I taken a hit in the face at some point.
I'll tell you what is very macho is you got the left arm up to block.
Yeah, no,
I know. I would worry that if that was me, I would have took it right in the kisser. But you had just enough awareness like, oh, this is not
I don't know how
normal.
I don't know how that happened.
And then the haymaker comes and then boom, block. I was going to say, do you study jujitsu or something like that? Or this was just
not
a study, thing?
No.
Natural reaction.
Kelly and I out walking one morning, same street, were chased by a homeless person.
Are you in San Diego in South Central?
No, we're in San Diego.
Wow. I didn't think that to happen down there.
We're out walking the dogs, and we're walking down, and then a dog stopped to pee or sniff or whatever, and you just stand there and you look around. And I see a guy, looks like he's about a block away, and he's got a big bundle of stuff. I see him put it down,
yeah,
and then he walks backwards, and he grabs another bundle, and then he walks past that bundle half a block, and he sets that bundle down, and he goes back, and he gets the first bundle. You see what he's doing? He's got a lot of stuff to carry.
Yeah.
He can't carry everything at once. So he makes one trip, goes gets the other one, and he's advancing down the block. And when I finally figure out what he's doing, I'm like, oh, it's a guy is transporting his stuff. So we start to walk, and the dogs stop to pee or whatever again. And I see this guy. He's got no bundles now. Now he's walking towards us, quick stepping it. I say to Kel, what's going on here? What is this? And as he gets like, he's now like 3/4 of a block from us. And I'm like, this does not look good. No. I think maybe we need to cross the street.
Yeah.
So I pick up Lewis because he's the slowest because he's little. And we head across the street. And as we're halfway across the street, he starts yelling, "You better fucking leave. I will take you apart and you goddamn it." And I mean, drugs make the mind crazy. All I did was look.
Yeah.
And the second I realized what was going on, I stopped looking because I know you don't look. Looking is not going to be a good outcome.
Oh, don't I know it.
So, yeah. So, whew.
So
here, happy Tuesday.
We talked about this maybe a year or two ago, or you had asked me about
it. Yeah.
This is why you always carry a pocket knife. We're not going to get into why you carry a gun because it's very hard in California, but this is why you always carry a pocket knife. Aside from the infinite number of uses you would be able to get through and use it during the course of a day, for that specific instance, if something happened, you could produce it, you could get at this guy's neck, and that'll be the end of him, and you'd be a hero.
Listen. You think that someone is crazed when I whip out a little, what are you allowed to carry? 4 inches, 3 inches? How big a pocket knife can you carry?
This is,
what is that?
It's probably 4 to 6, 4 to 5. Yeah. I mean, this will kill you.
You're legally allowed to carry that, right?
Hell yeah.
I don't know. So I feel like if I pull that out, it's just going to be like waving a red flag at a fucking bull. Right, yeah, you're not dealing with regular people here, Greg.
You're not going to do this like the Sharks and the Jets in West Side Story.
What are you going to do?
You're just going to
start stabbing?
Flip it, and then you're going to take it into your defense. So now when he's coming at you, you can slip, boom, just like that.
Yeah, Sam the cooking guy kills a transient in Balboa Park.
Yeah, and he deserved it.
Was it self? Yeah. You know what would be better? It's a thing from Star Trek. If I whip that out.
The lightsaber.
That would scare somebody off.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. Shit. All right.
I'm having deja vu.
You just did this. You've had exactly a week away from it. Yeah. And a month ago, you asked to sit in on it with the Gents.
I did.
The EC.
Yes.
How do you think it went? I know you don't go back and listen to anything, but as you've had a chance to review it and potentially play it back in your mind.
Look, so I've backed off my position a little bit. I wrote you after, and I said, I don't remember what I said. Like, it was a dream for me. I listened to those guys. I've always wanted to be part of it, but I felt like I stepped on everybody's toes. I felt like I talked too much. I felt like I was the proverbial elephant in the room. I said it was great, but it should not happen again. That's what I said. And I feel like maybe that was a little hasty, but I've since heard from, by the way, John Solberg wrote a really lovely email just to the info@thecookingguy.com address.
You really get those?
They come, and then they get stuff that's meaningful gets sent to me.
All right.
Somebody that writes and says you're a douchebag, and why the F did anybody give you a channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
No, I don't need to see
that. You're saved from those.
Yeah. But so John wrote a really lovely note, meant a lot. I immediately texted him back, and I didn't hear from him. And I don't know if he doesn't check his texts. And I didn't want to now go email him back and go, dude, I texted you. So John, if you're out there someplace listening, I texted you back. No need to respond, but I just wanted to make sure.
Did he put his phone number in the message?
There was a phone number in it. Yeah.
Is that in the form you have to fill out?
I don't think it was a form thing.
All right.
It was just info. And I assumed it was, maybe it's a landline.
Mm.
Do people still have those? Do you have a landline?
Oh, not anymore. But I did for a while, but not for the last, be 7 years. I don't think I've had
a good question for people. Who has a landline?
Oh, yeah, that is. That's going to be, that'll be a question for next week.
Okay. Yep. Put me down as a no.
What's a St. Louis slinger?
Did you see it?
I did. I didn't know anything about it.
It's delicious. It's chili. It's burger.
It's chili con carne. Eggs.
Chili con carne. Oh, yeah, Max corrected my pronunciation. Con carne. Chili con carne.
There's very, eggs. There's very Italian the, chili.
There's a big patty. There's it's fucking delicious. Some of that fat kid shit that we make is really fun. And people will look at me and they go, why are you not heavier? And I go, well, because I don't eat the whole thing. Have a couple bites, man.
Yeah.
Have a couple bites.
St. Louis does have its own stable of local culinary bangers aside from that Slinger, which again, that was the only one that I didn't know about. So you have specific to St. Louis. Maybe you knew this. Maybe you didn't know. Toasted ravioli. Did you know that?
No. Did I know it came from there?
Famous in St. Louis.
Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going.
Gooey butter cake. Famous for St. Louis.
I don't
only
like cake,
St.
but
Louis.
What is that?
It's a
what
very makes it gooey. You know, it's like pound cake, but a little bit more rich and decadent.
Wetter?
Yeah, more, I would more, say wetter.
Moister?
Yeah, gooey more butter moist? Cake. And that's yeah. only, you only find that in St. Louis.
I like the sound of that.
Frozen though. Custard is one. I mean, you can find that in a lot of different places, but frozen custard.
I don't care about that shit.
Barbecue pork steaks is a St. Louis delicacy, which
that you know I, do you now. Know why I know it's from St. Louis? You told me.
Oh, that's right. I did.
Lest the audience think that we only talk when we're here together.
Let them know that.
We talk once a week for sure, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. On the phone.
Texting for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texting a couple times a week, and we talk for sure at least once a week, yeah. I think, on something. Something. And what were we talking? Oh, we had a conversation about something else. Yeah. And then I said, hey, what do you know about this? And you go, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was fantastic. It was so good. If you don't know what a bar, I'd be curious to know what the, because I can't convince Max that that's something worth doing.
Why?
Because he has a thing against pork. I don't know what it is.
I know what it is.
No, it's not that. Stop it.
All right,
go ahead.
Here's some other things. So the pork steak. Okay. St. Louis style pizza is a thing. It's like tavern cut. It's super thin.
I don't think I know that. Yeah. What does tavern cut mean?
So instead of cut with your triangles, it's cut into rectangles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they call that a tavern
cut. And is it that's a round pizza cut tavern cut?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
Very thin. St. Louis style ribs, of course. And then the ever famous and hyper regional Provel cheese. And the Mayfair dressing, which the Mayfair was a hotel back in the old days. And they were famous for their dressing.
Provel cheese. I don't know. Am I making up that I thought I've heard of that before? But what is it? Is a hunk of cheese with dressing on it?
No, those are two separate things. Provel cheese is its own.
I got it.
A lot of St. Louis style pizzas will put a Provel cheese.
Oh, we'll have that Provel cheese. I understand. Yeah,
but
I
Mayfair understand. Dressing is its own standalone. So,
yeah, I gotcha.
How's the book doing? Any word from anybody?
We're talking about next books already with my publisher.
Of the grills that you own, which one is your favorite to cook on?
That's tough, my boy. I do like my new gas charbroiler. Mm-hmm. An awful lot. I cooked on that today. I'm a pellet smoker fan, and that would be Traeger, the company that you loathe, hate, can't stand. And by the way,
untrue.
If they want to have a fun fucking collaboration with a baseball bat company, then let them have it.
Okay.
Here's the deal. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what the audience thinks. And for a lot of people that love baseball and Traeger, that's a fun collaboration.
Yeah.
Worth an extra $8. It doesn't matter what you think in their mind. Certainly.
I don't know if you knew this or not, but I am the industry's leading opinion maker. So I will give my opinion. Thank you. It's my show.
It doesn't mean it's a right opinion. Yesterday we shot. We shoot 2 days a week. Normally, what's today? Tuesday. We shoot normally Sunday, Monday for YouTube. Today, thank you. Normally Sunday, Monday, but because Sunday was Easter Sunday, we didn't shoot. So, but we shot yesterday, and I used a simple little Weber,
like a kettle.
Yeah. Oh. And I used it again today. I did lamb on it. I did a rack of lamb on it today. Oh, yes. Out of the book, Sam the Cooking Guy and the Holy Grill. And holy S, was it effing delicious. Mm,
I love rack of
lamb. And yesterday, what did I do on it yesterday? Oh, yesterday I did picanha. By the way, just let me say this to your audience. See what?
Very popular still, picanha.
What do you mean still?
Oh, it was like,
it was a trend. A little negative.
No. I'm saying like it was very trendy year and a half ago and has kept right on being on trend. So usually you see a trend and, you know, eventually it falls off. But picanha,
it's like saying a ribeye is a trend. No, a picanha shouldn't be a trend. Maybe picanha got noticed a year ago. I think that's closer.
Just using social media terminology because that's where I saw it trending. Everybody started doing it.
Let me talk to your audience for a second. Okay. Here. Listen, Barbecue Centralites. If you don't know what picanha is, it's also called a sirloin cap or rump cap. It comes from the ass into the cow. It's fantastic. They're not very big. They're triangular-ish, about that size, a couple pounds probably, maybe 2-3 pounds. When I bought one the other day at the butcher shop that I go to, as I was walking away, the person waiting in line beside me said, "Oh, what was that?" And the guy said, "Oh, it's a picanha." And he goes, "If the ribeye is the king of steaks, the picanha is the queen." Mm. And the guy went, "Wow, I'd never thought of it like that." But I'm telling you, after I've now made it a couple times, made it yesterday and made it for a private event a week ago, a charity thing I did. Mm. People flip out for it. It is so effing good. Mm. You got to just buy one.
Can I talk to the audience for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. It's your audience.
Gals, I just want to apologize. Sam didn't mean to talk down to you. Like you didn't know what picanha was or anything like that. And he's just,
I think I said, if you don't know,
I'm sorry. Talking to the audience. So, you know, don't hold it against him. He just wants to make sure everybody's at the same level of play here. So don't hold it against
him. All right,
now we're back. Now we're back.
I did not talk down to anybody.
I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's funny. I love the rotating Barbecue Central thing in the corner.
I didn't know if it was too much.
No, I love it.
You like the bug?
I love it. Yeah.
What am I making for dinner tomorrow night? You know this question is coming every month.
I know. The video is not out, so I can't tell you to make that. Listen, can I have your people make salmon?
Yeah. Captain Crunch salmon? Okay.
No.
Oh.
It's Captain Crunch tuna. Which, by the way.
Sorry.
Never mind. Yeah, that's okay. Same thing. So here's what you do. You get yourself a little salmon fillet, a couple little pieces, whatever you want, right? All you're going to do is you're going to season it with kosher salt and pepper. Yes. Kosher salt, not because I'm Jewish, because table salt, iodized salt, you should just throw it the fuck out. Get rid of it. Never have it again in your home.
What about Celtic salt? You like that?
I don't know what that is.
All over the place all of a sudden. Maybe I'm not saying it right. Celtic?
Listen.
Whatever.
Celtic. If it's a C-E-L-T-I-C, it's Celtic. Listen, all you need, just go buy Morton's kosher salt. That's what you need.
Yeah, I got it.
You go into any restaurant kitchen, that's what you're going to find.
Yeah.
That's what they use. The fancy sea salt,
Maldon,
which is more expensive. Maldon salt is nice. I used that yesterday in the picanha.
I think it's the finishing salt.
But... you know, for regular everyday cooking, kosher salt, Morton's the way to go.
Yeah.
So kosher salt, coarse ground black pepper on the salmon, and then sesame chili oil, which you can either buy as one thing, sesame chili oil, or you buy sesame oil, you buy chili oil, you mix them 50-50. You drizzle quite a lot of that on top of the salmon, flip it over more on the other side.
Oh, my.
Just let it sit 2 minutes. It's all you need. Hot pan, nonstick pan will be perfect for this. Room temp salmon, in it goes. And you can watch it cook and change color. When it gets a quarter of the way cooked, flip it over. Mm. And you're using a hot effing pan.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a good crust. No skin. Well, you can have skin. I take the skin off because Kelly doesn't like skin. So you cook it 25% of the way, crispy. Flip it 25% of the way. Take it out. Lots of chopped up green onions, which you wouldn't have because you're a little bitch when it comes to onions.
Yes.
But the rest of the listening audience that I did not talk down to, they're going to put green onions on top. Mm. And I'm telling you, if you cook it that way, 25% flip, 25%, it'll stay medium rare in the middle. If you want to use a thermometer, you want to yank it about 125 degrees. That salmon on some steamed rice, some of the best stuff you're ever going to have.
Wow.
It's in this house once a week.
Wow.
And then if you make extra, the next day, you take that salmon, cold out of the fridge, more green onion chopped up, little Japanese mayo, a little hit of sriracha. Now you've got a little salmon salad to have. I got a piece of toast. You could have a, you could spread it on some toast and put a fried egg on top of it. You could have it like as a sandwich, crackers, that kind of thing. It's so effing good.
Intentional leftovers. How about that? We should write a book.
That's the point. I should write a book. What an excellent title. God, you're smart.
No doubt.
Why don't I listen to you more often?
You should be going to Sam's website and getting all the... It's a revamped website, as we had mentioned a couple weeks ago. So all you need to do is put in what you think you might want to cook, and then you get videos and recipes, shopping lists, the whole thing. It's great. 3.68 million of you are subscribed to Sam's YouTube channel, if you can believe it. And the website, thecookingguy.com, for the recipes and for the gear. It's shopstcg, Sam the Cooking Guy. .com. Sam, always appreciate the time. We'll give you 3 weeks off. What?
I know. Wait, why couldn't they believe it that we have that many subscribers?
That's just the thing. It's just the thing you say.
3.68 million, if you can believe it.
Yeah, but
I listen to what you say.
Yeah, but I say that all the time.
If you can believe it.
But I say that all the time.
I can't believe Sam the Cooking Guy has 3.68 million subscribers.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it.
Maybe you want to find a different line.
I'm not saying it in that way.
Maybe you want to find a different line. That's how it comes out. 10 listener poll.
Wow.
Does it come out like that? I think
I'll ask my next guest if he thought that could have been construed as offensive. By the way, if you want to get schooled up on cigars, then you're going to want to, you listen to this like on Thursday when it comes out in audio podcast, but listen to me talk to Jeremy Ellis from McAuliffe Cigars. It's going to blow your mind.
I love listening to him. I love the fact that you guys have these in-depth conversations about cigars, and I like cigars. I like I don't know what Cohiba? Size I like.
Corona.
No. I was trying to think. I love a Corona. Yeah. That would be it. Yeah.
All right. SamTheCookingGuy.com. Here he is. Take the rest of the month off, and we'll see you beginning of April.
Thank you. Balloons, hearts.
Getting out of that before any of that happened. I think there were hearts. I think I have to get an Apple computer. That's enough is enough. Raise your thumb. You get all this weird stuff going on. Sam the Cooking Guy right there. Listen up, gang. Our friends at Big Papa Smokers have something special just for you, listeners of the show. Whether you're a seasoned pitmaster or a grilling newbie, Big Papa Smokers is the one-stop online shop for all things barbecue. From their championship rubs, mouthwatering sauces, essential accessories, they've got what you need to take your food to the next level, whether you're in the backyard or on the competition circuit. And here's the cherry on top. Big Papa Smokers is offering the listeners of the Barbecue Central show an exclusive deal. Use the promo code REMPE, R-E-M-P-E, at checkout. You get $10 off your next order of $50 of rubs, sauces, or accessories, or a combination of all of that. So you can imagine the possibilities, can't you? You can evaluate your ribs with sweet money. You can add Big Papa's Desert Gold to your chicken, or better yet, pick up Double Secret and add it to your steak. It'll blow your mind. Head on over to BigPapaSmokers.com and start shopping and saving today. And don't forget to use the promo code REMPE, R-E-M-P-E, at checkout to claim your $10 off your next order of $50 or more. You can also check out Big Papa's full line of recipes at the website CookingWithBigPapa.com. And of course, follow him on social media for all the amazing recipes as well. We're back with first-time guest Jeremy Ellis of McAuliffe Cigar. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Barbecue Central Show. We'll be right back. whole packers, full racks, legs and thighs, injecting butts. If you've never heard this before, you might think you found the best XXX show ever. Let's get back to the most homoerotic host out there today, Craig Rempe.
And we thank Sam the Cooking Guy for joining us last segment. TheCookingGuy.com is the website. This portion of the show, ironically enough, brought to you by JRE Tobacco, makers of the Aladino line of cigars, the classic, the Corojo Reserva, one of my favorites, and two or three new releases as of last week. They have a 100% Cameroon now. We have the Puma Noche. It's all great stuff. You go to a retailer near you, you can find one if you go to jretobacco.com. And if your retailer is not carrying JRE Tobacco, firstly, how dare they? Second of all, tell them to get JRE, especially the Aladino lines, in, and you will be one happy premium cigar smoker. One of the big passions over the past few years that we have talked about on the show, of course, as the Reed would just mention, premium hand-rolled cigars. Our pal Mr. Jonathan from the Cigar Authority podcast has made a number of appearances to get us schooled up on the cigar industry. And tonight, I have my first representative from an actual cigar company, a company that makes one of my favorite cigars at the moment. We'll talk about that here in a second. Let's go ahead and welcome in the Midwest Territory Manager for McAuliffe Cigars, Jeremy Ellis, joining us here on the show. Jeremy, appreciate you joining me on the show. And before we get going with the cigar stuff tonight, we have a YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody. And it's this: as an adult, you have been punched in the face for real, yes or no?
Yes, I have.
Yes?
Yes, yes.
You now make up the 25% of the YouTube voting public that has also been punched.
Only 25?
25, 75% of us, I'm on the majority this time, which is rarely the case, but 75% of us have not been punched in the face as an adult for real. So that's do we want to know the story, or does that like happen? Is that a recurring theme?
This is definitely not a recurring theme. Okay, this good. This happened definitely in high school.
Okay, so like 18 adult, like youngster. 18,
yeah, right. It would have been about 18, 19.
Nice. All right. Well, certainly that happens at those ages. How do you get into the cigar business?
You know, for me, I just had some friends that were, they manage cigar lounges in the Columbus, Ohio area. And I have been smoking cigars since 2012, wanted to be in it, didn't know how to get in it. And so just put a word in with some friends, and McAuliffe took a guy who was teaching classes in prisons and said, we'll give you a shot.
Like you were, you're teaching like reading, math?
No,
like
I was teaching classes. Leadership, healthy relationship, employment readiness, that kind of stuff.
Wow. So, are you into barbecue and grilling at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you like the low and slow more? Do you like the hot and fast grilling more? Or are you a fan of either or?
I'm a fan of either or, but I typically cook indirectly for the most part. It's a little slower. So, yeah.
Now, when you were talking about, I wanted to get in to the cigar industry, there's, as I've come to learn, so I'm in August, that will be celebrating my third year of smoking premium hand-rolled cigars. I'll spare you the story of how I got into it and why this thing almost never happened. Were you like, I want to farm, I want to like grow the stuff, or I want to work the tobacco, or you knew you wanted to sell cigars? Like that was the type of cigar business you wanted.
So I think selling for sure, because I love the what cigars do. It's like the great equalizer in the room. You walk into a cigar lounge, doesn't matter where you're at on your journey, you sit down, you have a good hour and a half, unless you're like Sam and smoke a Corona, then maybe 30 minutes. But for the most part, you have an hour and a half, and it's just a good way for men to connect. Women now, I mean, that's what's growing in the industry right now, is more women smokers, which is awesome. So I love the atmosphere.
What region of the country are you covering as the territory manager?
So I'm Midwest, which essentially is Michigan to Chicago, down to Nashville, to Pittsburgh and everywhere in between.
Wow. How many stores are you currently servicing in that area? That's a lot. That's a big region.
Yeah, I don't know the actual. I know I have over 100 accounts. Mm. So, yeah.
And McAuliffe's the only brand you've worked for otherwise?
So we are now working with All Saints, with Mickey Pegg. So about, what, 6-7 months ago, that kind of marriage happened. So we're carrying both McAuliffe Cigars and All Saints, but those are the only ones that I've worked for, yeah.
So what's the... How does that relationship come to be? I don't want to like get into the weeds here, but I knew about All Saints Cigars 6-7 months before I was first introduced to McAuliffe Cigars. They had won Cigar Authority's Cigar of the Year with their All Saints St. Francis. It was, I mean, yep. It's one of my favorite cigars. I think I still have 4 or 5 in my humidor the year that they won that title, and they're just aging out wonderfully. And then Mickey Pegg's obviously been, for the people that know cigar industry, like he's been a godfather of cigars for many, many decades. And then you have McAuliffe. So how does the, I don't even know what you call it, alliance, partnership, melding, yeah. What is it?
Marriage, maybe. Marriage, all right. The unition of the two brands. I think how this happened was... McAuliffe had its own sales force. Mickey Pegg was going through a brokerage, met with Dan Thompson, who is the president of McAuliffe Cigars. And they had a good discussion, said, you know what, you have, you know, X amount of accounts. We have X amount of accounts and only 30 of them overlap. So maybe what we can do is bring this thing together. And wherever you have a foot in the door, it will help us get in and vice versa. And so that's kind of how that played out through a conversation with Dan and Mickey. And then here we are as two different companies with the unified sales force.
Do you find that 6 or 7 months in, if a store is carrying an All Saint, that they're more apt to now bring in a McAuliffe line?
They're definitely more apt for conversation based on it. The thing that we battle most in the cigar industry is real estate. When you walk into a shop, they only have so much room in a humidor. And both All Saints and McAuliffe being kind of a boutique brand, they're not like your legacy brands like Rocky Patel and Fuente that sell themselves. It takes a little bit more sometimes for humidor managers to move the product. And so, we're always fighting for that real estate.
When you look at an All Saints portfolio and you look at a McAuliffe portfolio, how do they compare and contrast with each other?
So I think All Saints is very streamlined. Mickey Pegg's been in the business for a long time, like you said, and so he has 4 lines with different sizes, so not very wide. And then he has a limited edition that he came out with, and then I know he's coming out with 2 more. On the McAuliffe side, we have... what, 12, almost 12 in our heritage line, and now we're coming out with 2 new ones, the black and the blue, which is 2 out of a succession of 5. So we have 3 more coming out in that line.
Wow.
So definitely a little bit more of a portfolio on the McAuliffe side, but you know they're a little older, and we've been working with the Gomez Sanchez family, and a lot of their heritage lines that we have now, like the Leyenda, the Riata, some of these have been ones that they have rolled from for a long time. So it just kind of made sense.
Give us the quick McAuliffe cigar history and how you feel McAuliffe separates themselves from other brands.
I'll answer that last question first. How they separate themselves is we are brick and mortar only. 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, they did an open letter to Cigar International that included any other mega online store taking our product back and refusing to sell to any online company that's going to reduce prices and compete with brick and mortar. So you will not find any McAuliffe cigars online unless a brick and mortar carries our cigars in-house and they also have an online presence. And so it allows us to be able to support what's the heartbeat of the industry, and that's brick and mortar. And so that's one of the major, when I started working for McAuliffe, the thing that I loved most was that their commitment to brick and mortar. And then the construction of their cigars to me is one of the best out there.
When we talk about, I mean, there's a lot of brands out there, obviously. So
yeah.
Is a McAuliffe what you would call a vertically integrated company, or do you do parts and not others?
No, yeah, we are now fully integrated, meaning we don't buy the tobacco, we buy the field, plant the seed, and go from there. So we, when it comes to producing our cigars, it's one of the reasons why we can keep in our new line the prices lower, is because we're fully integrated. There's no middleman. We do it all. And so we have our factory that's in Esteli, Nicaragua. We work out of the San Andreas Valley as well. And so, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but we are fully integrated, so it makes it nice.
Is the company based in Esteli or is it in the States?
Weatherford, Texas is where we are based. That's for those who don't know the story about Al McAuliffe, I'll keep it brief, but he made his money through manufacturing silicone. He had some, still does, major manufacturing companies that he, I forget at one point, I don't know how many he had, but it was massive. Like anything silicone that doesn't go into the body. So all the other silicone. Yeah. He probably made or did something with.
Wow.
And so he made his money that way. And then he was a cigar connoisseur, was at one of his home lounges in Fort Worth, Texas, the Silver Leaf downtown. And the Gomez Sanchez family was doing a rolling tour because they wanted to get their cigars in the United States. So they're in Fort Worth. Their car breaks down out in front of Silverleaf. They meet Al McAuliffe. They help them. Al helps them get their car and back running. They spend some time together. He asks them to make for him 1,000 of their best blend. And they did that.
Wow.
He loved it. Through a handshake, they said, let's go in partnership. So then Al got the warehouse in Texas, got the factory in Esteli. And ever since then, there's been a partnership with Al McAuliffe and the Gomez Sanchez family. So it's a unique story.
Do you have a favorite cigar in the lineup?
Yeah, right now, it's probably the one that just came out, the blue.
Really?
Yeah. Man, I love the black. The black came out last year, and it is a phenomenal cigar.
These are my favorites right now in the McAuliffe line. Yeah. These are the blacks. So you got
the blacks.
While you're looking at a Toro on the right, which is the one that's a little bit longer than the one on the left, which is a Robusto. And boy, I mean, you know, when I have just a little less time, Robusto, of course, and then if I have a little more time. The Toro. Toro is the size that won 2023 Cigar of the Year at the Cigar Authority podcast. And like, so in your expert way of bringing it across, they're different experiences, not like punch you in the face different, pardon the pun for the question, but they are different experiences because the Vitolas are different. Why is that the case?
The part of the cigar that has the most flavor is the wrapper. And so if you have a Robusto, you're going to have a shorter cigar that's going to just be a little bit more pungent. And then the Toro, because of the length, kind of allows it to, I guess, not be as strong. I actually find both of those to be pretty similar, to be honest. So I don't think there's much difference in those sizes. You really start to see a difference in the ring gauges. So I have this one right here, this Corona. This is our Magdalia. This is a special edition. This comes out every March for International Women's Month. Mm. And it comes out that way because the one who blended this cigar was the matriarch of the Gomez Sanchez family. This was her cigar. And so we always come out and release this size. Now, this size, the Corona size, I think has the most flavor in every cigar. And it's because you're getting more wrapper because it's a smaller ring gauge. And so that's why I prefer the that size, like Sam did as well. So, but
you had mentioned that, so the Black has been out, and there was this thing called the PCA, was it last week or a week and a half ago? Yep. So it's the cigar industry's big convention. It would be akin to our NBBQA that happened earlier in the year, where, you know, everybody in the business gets together, and it's a lot of retailers showing up there to buy cigars from the manufacturers, and, you know, other wares that are being showcased there as well. What does McAuliffe have to offer at PCA this year?
So that's where we brought out and released the Blue. It's in the same line as the Black, same price point, the Toro and Robusto. It is a San Andreas Sumatra wrapper. So essentially it's a Sumatra seed grown in the San Andreas Valley. And then it also has Dominican and Nicaragua in the filler. And so I think it gives another dimension in our flavor profile that we haven't had, which is why I like it. It's milder than the Black, but because it has that Sumatra, you get that kind of cinnamon sweetness to it. But it's a very good cigar. So it is now hitting the shelves.
So I should be getting in contact with my preferred retailer in Bolivar, Ohio, and say, hey, make sure you keep your eye out on the Blue.
Yeah, he should be receiving it soon.
Do you just get endless free cigars being a rep? Is that like a benefit to the job or no?
Man, there is a courtesy in the cigar world when you go to different...
It's not like pharmaceutical rep handing out drugs to the doctors.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have trunk stock. I always have cigars on me that we have. But, you know, different states have different regulations on what I can do with that the trunk stock. So, you know, it's one of those things that, yes, I have cigars, but usually we save them for the staff at retailers.
No doubt. Where are you traveling to the upcoming weeks? Anywhere where people can, do you have any events or like open houses?
Yeah. So I have an event at Big Boys in Nashville, Tennessee on Thursday. That's what they have the Blues. So we called it All Things Blue. It's going to be a great event. We'll also do that online. So if anyone follows us on our ambassador page, McAuliffe Ambassadors, you can find us on Facebook. We'll do live stuff there to do deals and raffles. So I'll be in Nashville this week and Chicago next week.
Midwest Territory Manager and first-time guest Jeremy Ellis joining us here on the show. McAuliffe Cigars is the name of the company. McAuliffeCigars.com is the website, of course. And if you have a potential cigar palette like mine, Black is right up your alley, and the Blue certainly is going to hit the mark as well. And for the prices, I mean, geez, I mean, you can't hardly argue. It's incredible. So, really big fan. Great to have you on, Jeremy, and continued success. And hopefully, we can catch up again down the road.
Thank you, man. It was great to be on. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You got it, Jeremy Ellis, right there. McAuliffe Cigars, one of my favorite brands out there right now. And I think we're all caught up, right? Yes. Good. Good for us. We almost made it right on time, but I was late going into the second hour anyway, so I'm glad we didn't continue to back up any more than we did. So we'll go ahead and stop here. Get ready for a wrap, and we'll call it a show. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to a guy who has more experience giving you his opinion than he actually has cooking. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, welcome back, and we thank Jeremy Ellis for joining us last segment. McAuliffe Cigars, Midwest Territory Manager, Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Western PA, West Virginia and Tennessee. He's going to be Nashville this Thursday for a all blue event. McAuliffeCigars.com is the website. Big fan. Next month, I don't think it's this month, but next month we are going to have Justo Aroa from JRE Tobacco on this show. I'm got a whole first hour with him. I'm so excited. Big fan of his. We'll get a whole big history on his father, Master Blender, and how he got into the business. His kids are now in the business. They're making some incredible cigars as well, just like McAuliffe is. I mean, if you gun to head, without price being a factor, is Corojo Reserva my favorite, or is McAuliffe X my favorite? I might have to run away from the bullet. That would be a hard one to choose for me at the moment. Okay, let's go. All the way back in the first hour, we attempted Malcolm Reed. That did not work out. So we will find him in May, beginning of May. Darren W. Carter joined me after the failed attempt with Malcolm, and we learned all about his food truck and pop-up business that he has going on, barbecue-related, here in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame City of Cleveland, Ohio. Bomb City, USA. Appreciate Darren for stopping by. Second hour, Sam the Cooking Guy backed up his appearance last week and did it again this week with great conversation. It tapered a little with the punching, almost punching stories. But we reined it back in and actually got through 90% of what I wanted to ask him about, so good for us. And then Jeremy Ellis from McAuliffe Cigars closing it out. Big show planned for you next week. If you can believe it, Meathead from AmazingRibs.com is going to be breaking a story right here on this show. April 9th. Tune in, because it's going to all be revealed first on this show. He had casually mentioned it on the way out last month. I didn't know what he was talking about. And now we are all going to find out. So it's very big. Also, Robert Moss. Also, second hour stuff that I can't think about right off the top of my head. But everything is booked. So be ready for it. So, how do I always leave you? September 11, 2001. I will never forget until next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's your program host and proud U.S. American, Greg Rempe. Good night now.
Hi, this is Bobby Rempe from Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to Barbecue Central.